Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Well, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm still in this series that I'm calling P423 because I think our hearts are important. It's not just my opinion. It's the Word of God that gives a lot of emphasis on the condition of our hearts. Now, last week I kind of did a boo-boo. You know, this app I have been working on is an extraordinary invention. It'll go down in history as one of the greatest inventions ever. And I've been testing it on myself, but last week I tested it on Micah. And that's kind of a no-no. I should not have done that because it is yet to receive approval from the FDA, the AARP, the NAACP, the NBA. So I need to keep just, you know, using it on myself. So for those of you who don't know, I developed an amazing app that when placed to your chest can reveal the contents of your heart. And we're going to do that again this morning, and we're going to see my heart. See if you can hear that. Can you? Another good, strong, solid heartbeat. Good. I'm doing well. Isn't this a cool app? I mean, you put it right here. You can hear what's in your heart. Let's see what else is in my heart today. I had to do it. I'm sorry. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I had to do it. Yeah, jump out of your seat. Okay, stop tapping your toes. You're enjoying this too much. No headbanging. All right, I had to do that out of tribute to the late Edward Van Halen, one of the greatest guitar players ever, who passed away this last week, and that was just my little tribute to him. There's actually an interesting story about him. I saw an interview that he gave. You know, his family immigrated to the United States in the early 1960s from the Netherlands. And he and his little brother did not know English very well at all. And so his parents came to the United States from the Netherlands. They settled in Pasadena, California. And there was still segregation going on. And because he did not know English, he was segregated with the colored kids. And in this interview that he gave, he said that his earliest friends when he came to the United States were black kids who became his best friends and also helped protect him from the bullies that were trying to pick on him. And I thought that was neat. There's no room for racism in our hearts. And we are still working our way and making progress towards that. Anyone with racism in their hearts is dealing with a corrupted heart. You know, you can't have a good heart and deal with racism or sexism. You know, it was shocking to see the news this last week of the FBI arresting these about a dozen militia men in Michigan who were very sincere in their efforts to plan and plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan, and they had ambitions of holding a mock trial and then executing her. That's not good. And then one of the reports of these militiamen said, he's reported as saying, one of the reasons why he wanted to be involved in this plot was he didn't like a woman telling him what to do. That's sexism. I'm assuming he's never been married or plans on ever being married. But there's no room for racism or sexism or ageism or classism or elitism or any of the other isms out there. Favoritism, there's no room for any of that in our hearts. And so we must guard our hearts against anything that puts a barrier between us and God, obviously, but also between our brothers and sisters. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, P4:23. This is an important verse. How do we know it's important? Because the verse itself tells us it's important. And we ought to pay very close attention. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, make this a priority. If I sound like a broken record, good, because this verse is emphasizing itself. Above all else, guard, protect, secure your heart, for your heart is the wellspring of life. Pay attention to your heart. Pay attention to what is put into your heart. Because what you allow in your heart will shape you, either for the good or for the bad. I want us to look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. There's a couple of verses here that I want for us to give our attention to this morning as we're talking about the condition of our heart, our spiritual heart. I've told you this before, I'll say it again. I'm not a licensed psychologist, I'm not a professional psychologist, but I do like psychology. I was drawn in college to my psychology classes. I think much can be learned and understood about the human condition as we study psychology and human behavior. And so I'm just kind of a lay person when it comes to the study of psychology. But I'll tell you this, the Bible knows us better than any psychology textbook out there. And don't get me wrong, I think there is a place for psychology and there's a place for psychologists to help us and counseling and all that. But the Bible knows us better than any psychology textbook, any psychologist, any psychotherapist. The Bible knows the human condition very well. The Bible knows why we do what we do and why we don't do what we do. The Bible knows us intimately. The Word of God understands the human condition thoroughly. And these verses here in Jeremiah 17 help us understand even further why it is we are the way we are, or why people are the way they are. And if we understand the human condition, we can begin to understand ourselves better and then find the remedy for that. Jeremiah chapter 17, look at verses 9 and 10. Speaking about the heart. The heart, your heart, my heart, is deceitful above all things. Well, that's kind of depressing. But that's Scripture's diagnostic. That's the Bible's analysis of the human heart. As we are born into sin, I mean, the original sin in the Garden of Eden was the sin of deception. Adam and Eve fell into the lies of the enemy. And ever since then, this world has been filled with deception. And so, as we are born into sin, the Bible here says, the heart is deceitful above all else. Now, if that isn't sad enough or depressing enough, look what else it says. And beyond cure. You and I can't cure our deceptive hearts. It's beyond us. It's way bigger than us. Who can understand it? It's elusive. It's beyond our comprehension and our understanding. That's how deceptive and deceitful the human heart is. Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, for the heart and the mind are connected, to reward a person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. The heart is deceitful above all else. The title of this sermon this morning is Cardia Deceptia. Cardia Deceptia. Cardia comes from the Greek. It's the word heart, you know, cardiovascular. Deceptia, deception, deceitful. Cardia Decepta. I just made that term up. I just made it up. I'm playing around with you. I'm deceiving you a little bit. But it sounds kind of cool, right? The deceit of the heart? Maybe I didn't make it up. Maybe I just coined a new term, right? Yeah. Cardia Decepta. The deceitfulness, the deception of the heart. The scriptures here tell us the heart is deceitful above all things. How did it get this way? Well, if you go up to verse 5 of Jeremiah chapter 17, we're given a clue. Verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for their strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Well, there you go. That's why. That's why the heart is deceitful above all things. It's because we put our trust in ourselves. We put our trust in others. When we do that, we turn away from the Lord, and we rely on our own strength and our own wisdom, which is very flawed and very limited, and we reject the one who is the true source of life and truth and honor. There you have it, right there. I mean, when you study the scriptures carefully, it is more revealing than any psychological textbook. It really is. Our hearts deceive us because we turn away from the Lord and we begin to trust in our own flesh, in our own strength, in our own limited understanding. We turn and we trust in others whose hearts are also deceptive, and we turn away from God. The Hebrew word here for deceitful can also be translated fraudulent, crooked, and polluted. We'll come back to that word polluted here in a minute. So what is the result of a deceitful heart? Well, the Bible goes on and outlines very carefully and thoroughly the result of a deceitful heart. In Psalm 17:1, we read of deceitful lips. In Psalm 36:3, we read of deceitful mouths. In Psalm 52:4, the scriptures speak of deceitful tongues. In Psalm 119:29, we read of deceitful ways. In Psalm 144:11, we read of deceitful hands. In Proverbs 12:5, we read of deceitful advice. In 2 Corinthians 11:13, we are warned against deceitful workers. In Ephesians 4:14, we are warned against those who are deceitful in their scheming. Ephesians 4:22, we read of deceitful desires. All these things are the result of what? A deceitful heart. Jesus touched on this. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. If the Bible is the greatest psychology textbook there is that reveals our true human condition, then Jesus, the rabbi, the teacher, is the greatest psychologist who has ever lived, for he knows the human heart better than anyone else. Matthew 15, beginning at verse 18. These are the words of Jesus, who takes a magnifying glass and places it to our chest and tells us exactly what's in our hearts. Matthew 15, beginning at verse 18. But the things that come out of the mouth come from where? The heart. And these make a man unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Out of the heart, a heart that is turned away from God, come all these evil things. The heart is deceptive and deceitful above all else. You remember the story of Pinocchio? I love the story of Pinocchio. Oh, what a cute story. There's many different versions of Pinocchio, but who built Pinocchio? Geppetto. And he built Pinocchio, and Pinocchio was this cute little puppet, but Pinocchio had a problem. And his problem was he couldn't tell the truth. And so what happened every time Pinocchio told a lie? His nose would grow and grow and grow. And there's different variations of the story, but one of my favorites is that he's in a room and he kept telling so many lies that his nose got so big that he couldn't get out of the room. You know, he boxed himself into a room. And that's what happens when we're deceitful. We box ourselves into a corner. We box ourselves into a room. And Pinocchio's problem wasn't his nose. It was his heart. If his heart was in the right place, he wouldn't have told lies. You remember the phrase, the heart wants what the heart wants? It's from a poem, I believe by Emily Dickinson. The heart wants what the heart wants. Or the saying that a lot of people say, just follow your heart. And to those two sayings, I want to say emphatically, no! No! Because the heart is deceitful. Don't follow your heart. What you want to do is follow the heart of Jesus. Jesus knows what's best. Jesus can be trusted. Jesus is the remedy for our deceitful, deceptive hearts. Don't follow your own heart. Don't go after what the heart wants. Go after the heart of Jesus. I posted something on social media a few days ago, and it garnered some traction. And I was surprised when Marilyn Johnson responded, and she wrote quite a long response. I think most of you know Marilyn. She's a member of our church, but the last couple of years, she's lived in Nashville, Tennessee. Her daughter Erin's there, and there's grandkids, and, you know, parents go where the grandkids are. And so, but Marilyn still loves our church. She's faithful to our church. She tithes to our church. We have people who tithe to our church that don't even live in this state. So what I want to say is, what's your problem? No, I'm kidding. But Marilyn's a wonderful, wonderful woman. She grew up in this church as a kid and as a teenager. And as many people do, when she got older, drifted away from the church, drifted away from the Lord. And she'd be the first to tell you that things weren't going very well in her life. But God is so good. He never gives up on anybody. And he kept pursuing her. And she started coming back to this church about the same time. And if I stand corrected, I think her first Sunday back to church was our first Sunday here, which was 18 and a half years ago, and has come back to the Lord, is faithful to her church. And I thank God for how she has just grown in the Lord. But she wrote something in response to what I had posted online. And she said, one of the things that I appreciated most, Pastor John, when I came back to church was when you would read the scriptures and you'd come across the words of Jesus where Jesus would say, I tell you the truth, which I did last Sunday when I preached out of Matthew 24. And I read that phrase from Jesus where Jesus says, I tell you the truth, and I just add three words in there. He never lies. And she said, I've always remembered that because it's pointed me back to Jesus, who always tells the truth, who never lies, who will never lead me astray, who will always point me in the right direction. And she's absolutely right. We can't follow our own hearts. Our own hearts deceive us. We must pursue the heart of Jesus, for he never lies. He will never lead us astray. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I have in my library here at church and at home and wherever else I have books, in the cars, I have a ton of books about Jesus. I mean, a ton. More than I could count. Easily over 100. A ton. But I got to thinking a while back, I think every single one of them has been written by a white Caucasian male. And so I was perusing Amazon a couple weeks ago, and I came across this book by Luis Martinez. He was the Archbishop of Mexico City in the 1950s. And he wrote his magnum opus entitled Only Jesus. And I got to thinking, I've never read a book about Jesus from a Latin American perspective. Have any of you? And so this came in the mail just yesterday. I'm so excited. And I started reading it, and it is amazing. And I just want to share with you a couple paragraphs of what the Archbishop here wrote about Jesus that points us again to the only one who will never lead us astray. He says this, I do not understand how much God loves me, nor how immense, constant, and active is the love he has for me. Not for one instant does he fail to draw me toward himself with the force of his love. My life, with all of its alternations of joy and grief, of fear and hope, of activity and repose, my life with its variable and innumerable circumstances is God's work. It is the fruit of his love. There is nothing in my life which he does not foresee, direct, and dispose for my good. Only when I separate myself from him by sin does my life cease to be the fruit of his action. Yet God permits even my faults, then returns again to convert me and to repair the damage wrought by sin. Beneath all external happenings, God is always present and hidden. Joy and sorrow are equally God's messengers coming to accomplish in my soul the work of his love. They are instruments of his actions, veils which cover his presence. If only I would continue to discover this hidden God in my own life. If I would always let myself be led by his gentle hand, my life would be his action, my soul a temple, and I a saint. But there is still something deeper and dearer because it is more loving. Get this. God is hidden in my soul, in the center of my being, in the very core of my heart. It's only Jesus. It's only Jesus that is the cure for our deceptive, deceitful heart. Remember how I told you how one of the ways the Hebrew word for deceitful can be translated as polluted? That makes sense to me. If we are born with polluted hearts, they are filthy. They're unclean. They're impure. They're dirty. And that brings a whole new light to what the psalmist prayed in Psalm 51:10. Turn to Psalm 51:10. Because this was his prayer for his polluted, deceitful, deceptive heart. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, or a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He is the answer to our deceitful, polluted hearts. Only God can create in us a clean heart. It is impossible for anyone to do their own heart surgery, right? You can't do it. And neither can we clean our own hearts. It is only God, with his great surgical love, can he come in and create in us a clean heart as a remedy for our polluted hearts. I want to close this morning from a Puritan prayer. And here's a portion of that prayer. O thou who hast the hearts of all men in thy hand, form my heart according to your word, according to the image of thy Son. So shall Christ the Word and his Word be my strength, my comfort, and my guide.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.